Praise God. Are you expecting?
Yes.
Are you expecting to be changed right now?
Yes.
Not 3 weeks from now. But right now, you're just getting set to have something imparted into you that will change your life. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. God is so good. We look to Him, and He is faithful. Why don't we, let's turn over to Exodus, actually. Let's go to Exodus 3. You know, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I got to thinking about that. And about what a memorial is. We're going to read about a memorial that God states here. Exodus 3. Exodus 3:14, y'all there? It says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather." We'll stop and I'll read that next part. "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt." But the part I want to focus on is that last part of 15. "This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." So God set up memorials. He put things in place. What is the purpose of a memorial? It's to remember. It's to remember something. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, you know, we've been in a different series, but I just thought we should go this direction this morning, is some different facets of remembering as it relates to God and what He has done. The Bible's full of it, talking about remembering when it comes to Him. And it is a vital part of what we need to do as Christians and to walk as strong Christians, is we need to look back and remember what He has done, specifically what the Bible promises He has done, and then also what He's done in your life. We're also going to talk about some stuff possibly you need to just not remember, that you need to forget. But there are so many things that it's such a such an important thing that we have to keep ourselves stirred up and thinking about the right thing. Do you realize if your attention drifts to the wrong thing, that can cripple you in life? And you realize it has crippled people in life mentally. People are crippled because they're focusing on things that they should not be focusing on. Your mind is not made to focus on negative things all the time. And if you do, it will hurt your mind. Things can come upon an individual because their brain is not meant to be in this vein all the time. And so they focus on the wrong things. Anybody who focuses on negative things all the time, you are going to be depressed. You don't have to blame it on anything. Anyone that would focus on negative things, you will be depressed. But you don't have to stay there. That can just open you up to, yes, things in your brain can get messed up. Why? Because you're balanced over here. You're looking at this negative thing all the time. Your brain isn't created to operate like that. God specifically tells us to stir ourselves up and to remember things that He's done. If you focus on what God has said, it will get you through some tough spots. Amen. Hallelujah. Look on your sheet there, and I could take time to turn there. 2 Timothy 1:6, at the beginning of the first scripture on your sheet, it says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Who is supposed to stir up the gift of God? I remind you to stir up the gift. Well, but I don't feel like it. He didn't say that here. I remind you, when you feel like it, to stir up the gift of God which is in you. He did not say that. Did he? He says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. So you already have a gift of God in you. He's talking to Timothy here, but we all have the Almighty God, the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. You know, you need to remind yourselves of that. One thing I'll say, first thing I get up, like when I'm becoming conscious, thank you, Lord, greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Sometimes you need to remind yourself of that just to get out of bed. You're like, Lord, I don't feel like it. Yeah, but you have the mighty Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So you can't just say, well, I just can't do it. I just don't feel like it. Well, but you have God inside of you. So sometimes you just have to say that. Well, we have to remember. We have to remind ourselves. We're just going to go over some scriptures to this effect this morning. Turn over to Psalms. We're going to go through the Psalms. A number of Psalms here. We'll start in Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verse 7. You guys are turning there, right? So you're looking in your Bible, so you're not tied to what's on the sheet. Let's read verse 7, then I think we'll back up. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, other translations will say, we will trust in the name of our Lord our God. But I like the way it says it here, because they go together. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. When things are looking, you know, you have pressure in your life, which if there's nobody on the face of the earth that has a pressure-free life. If you're looking for that, you're looking in vain. Even people you think may just, they just have it made. No, they have pressure. They didn't say the pressure has to get to you, but you're going to have pressure. Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation in this life, in this world. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Right? Look at the beginning of verse of chapter 20 there, Psalm 20. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. See, that's saying some people are trusting in the strength of men or in the strength of their weapons, you know, chariots and horses. But he says, we'll remember the Lord our God. We'll remember and trust in God. Now, how are you going to do that? You're going to, when you face something, just can be normal life. You don't have to have a catastrophe, but you get up. You need to remember and stir yourself up of what the Word of God says. You, us, we need to do that. Because so you have something like what he's saying here in the day of trouble. Something is pushing on you. You should not just look at that and say, oh no, and throw up your hands. What am I going to do here? You should remember something. You should go back and remind yourself, yeah, I see that, But there's a God in heaven who has my back, and his Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And you remind yourself of what the Word says, and you stir yourself up about what the Word says. You remember. This shouldn't be a distant memory either. You shouldn't wait and go weeks and weeks and months, and you're just bent over and you can't hardly go anymore, and you go, wait a minute, I remember something. I'm a Christian. Wait, God is on my side. Maybe I should do something with that. Maybe we should pray. Oh no, has it come to that? We're going to pray? No, we should be right away. We see something come and we should be like, no. God, we remind ourselves about who He is. This is something that we should do continually, is remember and stir ourselves up. Let's go over to Psalm 63. Don't let this be just too simple for you. This is a basic thing, something that we ought to be doing continually. And if we'll do it, we'll see the results in our lives if we'll keep our minds and hearts focused on Him. Psalm 63, verse 6. I'm just going to read some of these. Psalm 63, verse 6. It says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Now, no, this is David. Notice what he's doing. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Notice what he's doing. He's faced with something that's pushing on him. But what is he doing? He's remembering how God has been with him in the past. He's remembering how God has helped him. He's saying to God, now God, you've helped me before. Now you help me here. Now you help me in this place. Now I'm going to remember. It helps you. It helps you faith, your faith. It doesn't give you faith. Faith comes from the Word of God. But it will encourage you to use your faith if you'll remember how God has been faithful to you in the past. You remember what He has done. It'll get you bold. Because you know what the devil will always tell you when you're facing a trial? He'll always tell you, it's not going to happen this time. Doesn't matter how many times you've been with God and you've overcome, He will tell you, yeah, but you're not going to come through this one. Has anybody ever heard that? You're not going to get healed this time. Your finances, it's not going to come through this time. Why? You could be facing something financially, but you've seen how God's met your needs over and over and over. But the enemy will still tell you, there's no way. You don't know how it's going to happen this time. But if you have times before where you didn't know how it was going to happen that time, you can come back and remember and say, yeah, but I remember when I was facing this situation and I didn't have a clue where this would come from, and yet God, or how I would get to this level, or how this would happen, but God brought something that I didn't know anything about, and He helped, and He brought it to pass. And so that can stir you up to say, He hasn't changed. He's the same God, and He'll do. He has ways. Just because I don't see it, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Amen? Just because we don't see it doesn't mean God isn't able. And so you stir yourself up. You start remembering. You put yourself in remembrance. I like that. You put yourself in remembrance. Sometimes you have to put yourself somewhere. You just say, we're going to remember what God has done. And you see, if you focus on that, if you're looking at what's coming down the pipe and you're not sure how things are going to work out, or there's some storms on the horizon, you're saying, well, I don't know. I mean, people could be like that everywhere on the earth. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. You could get into fear real easy. about things. What's going to happen? So you can look at that, or you could look at what God, who He is, what He's done, and what He's done in your life. And if you'll stay focused on that, you'll see that your outlook, your attitude, it changes. Because you start focusing on how big He is. And the more you focus on how big He is and what He's done, you start to look at that issue or the problem in your life, it doesn't look so big anymore. But if all you do is focus on the problem, it will get bigger. If you start focusing on the negative things, they will get stronger. Those things will look better, bigger. If you focus on the things in your kids that you're not so sure about, you focus on that, you magnify that, that becomes bigger than all the good things. And you get into fear that way. But if you'll look at what God says and say, Lord, what you have said this in your word, and you've done this and these things. Yeah, but this is positive, and that you're doing this, and you've done this, and you've done that. You are rehearsing the goodness of God and what He has done. And this is just vital. This is vital to staying on track, is going back and remembering what He's done. That's what David, I mean, think of what David was facing. People were trying to kill him. They were seeking his life. They were trying to take him out. And he had to go, God, you've come through for me. When he's laying there on the pillow at night, or rock, or whatever he was sleeping on, he said, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 11. It says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples, and with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Verse 12, he says, I will also meditate on your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary, and who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. What's he saying? I'm going to meditate on what you've done. I'm going to say, there's no God like my God. God, you are the one that created the heavens. You have done so many great things. You do wonders. You do amazing things. And I'm just going to stir myself up about that and remember. Amen. Go one psalm over, 78, verse 5. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, this is giving us a picture right here of when people do not remember and do what we're talking about today. This is giving a picture. Now, the Bible says in the New Testament, it says that the examples, these accounts that we have in the Old Covenant, they were given as examples for us. You know, what's an example? You can learn from an example. But nobody twists your arm to learn from an example. You guys ever, you know, you take in math and they have example problems. And you can glean. If you're faced with a problem like this, Here's a hint. How you can get through it. And so then when you go down into the problems that are assigned as homework, you can look and say, this looks like something I've seen in the example problem. Let me go back and see how it was handled so that I can get this one right. Right? That's what they're there for. The Bible says the accounts in the Old Covenant in this book, they're there for our examples. Now, just like with the math problem, it could be there. It's exactly what you need to know. But you could just skim right over it and go right to the problem and go, I have no idea how to do this. And then you could say it again. I have no idea how to do this. And beat your head against the book. And still, it doesn't help you. All the while, the example's there telling you what you should do. But you don't go look at it. Or you could read it, look over the example, forget it, and still not do it. And try to say, well, I know that's what the example said, but I'm going to go and try it this other way anyway. The Bible says that we were given these accounts for examples. Why? So that we can learn. And we can do things the way God says and not the way other people have done them. And we, thank God, have the accounts. Now, this is not, you don't have the examples, so you can point at these people and say, look at how stupid they were. Because usually you don't have to look too far in your own life to say that you maybe did something that looked like what they did. And if you were faced with what they were faced with, maybe you would have done the same thing. But we're not in the book. They are. And so we get to look and say, hey, we have a cheat sheet. Now I'm faced with this situation. What should I do? Well, these guys, this is kind of an account. In, you know, you can read the whole book back here and see how this played out. But this is kind of an overview in some places. Let's go back and read in verse 5. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So God set down principles and he said that you should teach your children. That the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. So what's God's intent? That he lay down these principles, that they would be taught to the children, that those children would get them, that they would teach them to their children. Right? So if you're gonna put something into somebody like that, you're going to have to remember some things. You're not going to say, hey, first day, you lay it down to the kids when they're 5 years old, and then that's good. And you expect them to take that through till they're 30 and 35. No, you're probably going to come back and you're going to rehearse it, right? Like we talked about several weeks ago, you're going to remember some things. You're going to come and repeat some of these things. Verse 7, it says that they may set their hope in God and what? Not forget the works of God. Do you know you can forget what God's done for you? It doesn't matter what he's done and how miraculous he's done it in your life, how big a deal it was, you can forget. Now, you may still have it in your memory, and if somebody asked you, say, oh, he did that, but what I'm talking about is you, is for all practical purposes, as far as it affecting your behavior, you've forgotten. You act like you don't know. Because when you come into a situation, if you act like God has never helped you, that he's never been there for you, and you act like you have no help, it is just as good as you forgetting that situation altogether. Because the point of it, you're not remembering the main thing, is that God was there for you then, and he'll be there for you now, and looking at what he is, and what he always will be, and you need to rehearse that and bring that back. And what God is, what it's saying here is that these people would not be in that situation, that they would not forget. Because remember what he's talking about here, God brought them out of bondage and slavery. It was miraculous. In all the signs that were done, you would think surely people couldn't forget that. Well, what you have to understand is that that generation died off. And so then what are they going on? What people have told them. And you know, it can be real easy. Well, we haven't seen anything. What are you talking about? Yeah, that's what they say, but we didn't see it. It's real easy for people to drift if we don't come back and rehearse and say, no, this is who God is, and we need to experience him for our own selves in our own lives. that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now then it goes through here and it talks about what the children did. Just read verse 8. It says, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And then it goes down through all these things and saying how they did not remember. They turned away. They did not remember God. They did not keep him in their remembrance. Let's go down to verse 40. It says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness. Or it's that provoked him is rebelled against him and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt, and when his wonders in the field of Zoan. So notice that, verse 40. So if you went through and read all this, we're not going to take time to do it, but it talks about how, well, let's go back and look at like verse 12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. Has anybody in here seen a sea parted? With the water standing up on either side and you walking through. Have you ever seen a pillar of fire guiding you? Have you ever been on a trip and you got GPS on something and you look up and you see this pillar of fire and it's like you don't need GPS because you're just going to follow the pillar of fire to the campsite? No? Well, these people did. Now, of course, they didn't have GPS, but that's another thing. They had the pillar of fire and they saw this miraculous sign. I mean, can you imagine what it would look like? To look over and to cross the Red Sea and see the water standing up. I mean, I guess you might be able to see the fish and things through that. You know, like not even, you don't have glass like an aquarium. You could just see this wall and these fish looking at you. And there's nothing in between. And you're like, wow, that's something. Do you think that would impress you? I would think so. But those people, when they got out into the desert, they were like, what? How are we going to eat now? We want fresh water. We want meat. We don't want man. I mean, thing after thing after thing. It didn't matter. And God would meet them, and He would meet them, and He would meet them. And what'd they do? They forgot. They did not remember. So it's not, just be careful, because some people say, well, if I had that happen in my life, you point to somebody, you say, well, some such and such has such a miraculous testimony. If I had that, man, I would be fired up too. Not so. Not true. It's a matter of your will. You already, everyone in here, if you've walked with God, you have something that God has done in your life. Now, if you told somebody else, they might say, that's a coincidence, because they don't know all the ins and outs. But you know what was going on in your life at that point, and you know that this was God showing up. Is there anybody that's experienced anything like that? You know. At that point, you knew that was God. You're like, there's no way. And somebody would go, well, that's just coincidence. And you're saying, no, that can't be a coincidence. And plus, then there's this time, and this time, and this time. That was the Lord. Because nobody else knew what I was thinking. Nobody else had an idea of what I needed. And yet, it showed up. This was God. And somebody could not convince you. At that point, it wasn't God. But you know, over time, that can wane. And then you're facing something else, and you're not remembering. You have to stay fired up about that. Else you'll fall into the same thing that these people are falling into. It said, He divided, verse 13, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. and also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. A fire was kindled up against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they did not believe God and did not trust in his salvation. Now this, again, these are examples for us of what happened. Amazing things, miraculous things happened to these people. But one after another, they would come to the next thing and say, "Well, can God prepare a table? I don't know. I mean, yeah." And they're not even thinking. They just got brought out of Egypt. They're like, "Well, I don't know if he can do this." We have to watch this, don't we? You can forget. And you can get to the place where something happens and you'll think, "I'll never forget this. This God is so real to me now." Yes, he's real there to you now, but you have to stir yourself up. You have to remember that. Because look in verse 40 then. How often they provoked him. Notice that. They provoked God. Why? Because they're rebelling against him. They won't. Can you imagine if you've done something over and over and over for someone and proven yourself to somebody and they came back and said, "I don't know if you're going to show up this time." Would that frustrate you? Well, God isn't any different. As far as that, he's... I mean, there's times he wanted to wipe out all of them. He said, "Forget it. I'm going to start over with you. Moses, get out of the way. We're doing this over. I'm done with these people," right? Well, thank God we have a merciful God and we don't have to go down that way at all. Why? We have a cheat sheet. We saw what these people did. We saw this is not the way to solve the problem. In other words, this is an example in reverse. Don't do this. What not to do. Here you go. See this, how they reacted to this? Wrong answer. See this, how they answered this? This wrong answer again. That's not what you want to do, right? So we should, we all have the opportunity. Now, when we are faced with something, we can do the right thing and have the right answer. And part of this is remembering what God has done for us and saying that and being strong in that. Verse 40, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God. Can God be tempted? Evidently so. And limited the Holy One of Israel. Notice that. They limited God. Can God be limited? Yes, he can. Why? He cannot just override everybody's will. Otherwise, he would just say, "You know what? I know you really don't believe in Jesus, but here you go anyway. I'm going to make you get saved." He can't do it. And so he can't do certain things in our lives, and that must be so frustrating for him. And obviously, God can be tempted. He wants to do certain things, but if we don't believe him, he can't do it. And we're not talking about doing a bunch of stuff on our end. We're just saying, believe what he said and that he is who he said he is, who he is in his word. And then when we're faced with something, we go and remember, "Yeah, God, you've done this and you've done this. And I believe you can do this too. I believe you. I believe you can. I'm going to stir myself. You can take me through this." And you know what? We give him access then. Then we're not limiting him. It says, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Notice that. How did they limit? They didn't remember. They forgot. They did not put it in the front of their understanding. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106 says the same thing. It's another commentary on the same part. Psalm 106, verse 7. Psalm 106, verse 7 said, "Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea." They didn't remember God. They didn't stir themselves up and remember what He had done. Thank you, Lord. Look at Psalm 143. Let's turn over there. Notice this is another example. That was an example of what not to do. Here's an example of what to do. This is David, Psalm 143, verse 1. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed." So stop right there. What's he saying? He's in trouble. Okay, he's feeling overwhelmed. He doesn't know exactly what to do. Okay, he's faced with the problem. You could go back to those people in Egypt and they were faced with something. They didn't know where their help was going to come from. You know, and they didn't know how they were going to get fresh water. They didn't know how they were going to get food. And they maybe were fearful. But they chose a path and said, "God cannot help." Look what David did. He said, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you, for my soul longs for you like a thirsty land." And then he says, think about this, that Selah. He's saying, I remember what you've done. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to meditate on it. You've come through before. You've helped me before. Lord, you've done this before. You helped me in this situation. That lion and that bear, you brought me through. You helped me to take them out. When Goliath was coming down at me and he was yelling at me, you helped me to take him out and to cut off his head. Lord, you'll help me here. And you rehearse what God has done for you. That is how to come against pressure. It doesn't have to be anything big. Like I said, you just be getting out of bed for the day. Just set your mind straight. Say, God is with me. God is for me. This is going to be a good day. This is going to be a great day. Why? Because God has proven himself faithful to me, and he will keep me going. He will keep helping me. He's going to help me today just like he did in the past. Amen? Hallelujah. God is so faithful. He's so good. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Remember. Just stirring ourselves up to remember. Remember what he's done for us. That's so powerful. So powerful. You get your mind on the right thing.